guys, welcome everyone to episode 28 of New Ones at Noon, aka the new Music Mondays. Right out of the gate. AKA the New Music Mondays podcast. This show airs every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Dropout Radio, streaming 100% Canadian independent music, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, folks. And we've got a great show for you today. We've got new music from Oliver Pigott. We've got new music from The Dirty Nil. And we've got new music and an interview with Binge Ninja and The First Seed. It is officially 2021. It feels a bit different, doesn't it? Better, maybe? I want to know how you guys all spent your New Year's Eve. Hit me up on social media and let me know, at Ben in Toronto. And don't forget to catch up with Dropout on social media too, at Dropout Entertainment. We here at Dropout Entertainment have officially spent days now obsessing just a little bit over music video submissions for the third annual Canadian Independent Music Video Awards. The contest is officially live and accepting your votes at independentmusicvideoawards.com. So head on over there and check out the videos, vote for some of your favorites, vote for all of your favorites. In all seriousness, with every bit of horribleness that 2020 brought along with it, I will say it also brought along some incredible music. Music from Canadian artists like Oliver Pigott. Pigott is a Canadian indie electro singer-songwriter, actor, triple threat from Toronto, Canada. The artist spends his professional time between Nashville and Toronto working on various musical projects. I don't know how much traveling Pigott is up to lately, but at the tail end of 2020 though, he dropped a pretty special release and I want to share it with you guys today. Pigott began his career with a BMG Canada publishing deal back in 2002. His time in the entertainment business has seen him as a frontman for a number of projects of varying genres. He's worked with some really notable industry names and has also recorded in some seriously premier studios, including Abbey Road in London and the CBC Studios right here in Toronto. You may also remember Oliver Pigott as a finalist on Canadian Idol, where he performed with his brother Sebastian. At the tail end of last year, with the second round of COVID-19 lockdowns sort of looming on the horizon, Pigott took the opportunity to get himself into the studio and record an incredible cover of Aerosmith's iconic track, Dream On. Now, at this point in the show, I might talk about Aerosmith a bit or what a song like Dream On might mean to me, but this quote about the song from Pigott says more than I ever could. Here's what Pigott had to say about the track. Quote, "Here we were, my wife and kids and I, across the border in the US, in a charming small town, riding out the next wave of 2020 in a basement, playing music with a few friends and strangers. That night, we met a man who suffers from amnesia. He came down to listen to his jam, apparently having been a musician himself before his near-fatal car accident. As I played a few apregos over a D minor chord, he began to hum to himself, mumble to himself, and sing, 'Dream On. You know it?' he asked me. 'Of course,' I replied. He nodded and looked through me with his piercing eyes. 'Great song, man.' Later that night, he had forgotten that moment, as well as who I was, and yet we both knew the song would live on. Once back home, I began to dream of covering Dream On." End quote. This is Dream On by Oliver Pigott.
Every time I look in the mirror, all these lines on my face getting clearer. The past is gone, and it went by like dusk till dawn. Isn't that the way? Everybody's got their dues in life to pay. I know everybody knows where it comes and where it goes. I know everybody's sin. You got to lose to learn how to win. Ooh. sages. You know it's true, so true.
All these things
come back to you. Sing with me, sing for the year. Sing for the laughter, sing for the tear. Sing with me, just for today. Maybe tomorrow, the good Lord takes you away.
Next up, we've got the new one from Binge Ninja and The First Seed. The First Seed, Adam Gabori, and Binge Ninja, Shane Burrow, are underground independent artists who have been involved in the Ontario music scene for the better part of two decades. The First Seed is an electronic musician, composer, producer, and visual artist who has made a name for himself by releasing projects ranging from electronic thrash, digital hardcore, noisecore, and glitch hop. Binge Ninja's main contributor, singer-songwriter Shane Burrow, records and performs full band recordings with a lineup consisting of Sean Tardo and Kyle Prodigy Colazar. The trio have played relentlessly throughout Ontario, Quebec, and have even made their way as far as the west coast of Canada. Burrow has adopted a sort of everything and anything musical approach. His offerings span like a whack load of genres, and they cover everything from rock, punk, metal, acoustic, piano, R&B, and most recently, hip-hop. I sat down with the two artists over the internet for an interview just to talk about their new track, Violet, and here is what that sounded like. So, ladies and gentlemen, before we get into everything, I'm here with Binge Ninja and The First Seed. Welcome, guys. Thanks for joining me. It's awesome to have you on the show.
Thanks for having us, Benjamin.
Absolutely. I want to talk to you guys first about collaborations, because we're on here. We're going to discuss a collaboration between the both of you guys. But you're also both just off collaborative projects. So I wanted to ask you about those guys first. So Binge Ninja, I wanted to ask you about your recent collaboration with Benny the Butcher, and First Seed, I wanted to ask you about your recent album Must See TV. And whoever you guys can just jump in and fight for whoever gets to talk.
Yeah, yeah. We don't have to do that. We'll just go in order of the way you ask the questions, I guess. So I'll jump in there. To answer your question, it wasn't a direct collaboration with Benny the Butcher. It was just a mixtape series that he had been putting together, and I felt like it was a good opportunity. Really to just do anything, because it had been like a month and a half to 2 months of COVID, and I wasn't doing anything creative. I wasn't writing, I wasn't recording, I wasn't performing, and I was like not in a good place with that, you know. I was in a really bad place, and I DM'd him, and he got back to me and said, yeah man, like you know I sent him a bunch of bars. He's like, yeah, let's get you on the project. So I just took that as a sign to like get motivated again, and you know, it gave me an opportunity to get involved with a buddy of mine, Vam Gangham, who goes by the name DJ Adverb. I've been wanting to collaborate with him for a long time. Like, I've been wanting to do a hip-hop project for so long. So this was just kind of like the spark that ignited that. And then, you know, because it was such a big deal to me, you know, I was going over there, we perfected the beat, we perfected the bars, and I had my buddy Rob Shorthill like master it. So it all just kind of came together really quickly, but put the wheels into motion for starting to write again and starting to record again.
Cool. And First Seed, do you want to tell me about that album?
Yes. So actually we started writing that one right during the release of our first collaborative effort, Euro Guro and I. And that one took about 7 years, the first one to finalize. And we were, and you know, it was 90% done all the way along. And we just did the tiniest little tweaks and released it. And we were discussing, we're like, okay, we're never doing that again. You know, like this, if we're close with the first drafts, we'll just release it. And we were just both in a kind of a creative point and managed to flesh out, I'd say, the lion's share of that album within about 3 months. And then did the exact same thing again and sat on those tracks for like 5 years saying, yeah, we'll clean them up and do a little few tweaks here and there. And again, we did a few little tweaks, but we probably could have released it.
You got to respect the process.
I'm glad it's finally got out. Finally,
it's a super dope record, by the way. I love it.
It is. It's very, very cool. Why do you guys think collabs are important for artists?
I always love the just bringing in a new perspective. I think especially when you get two people with different viewpoints together, they can create something completely new and unexpected by combining their ideas. I really feel it invigorates the artistic process to work with somebody else who's creative. I've worked with many different types of people, and Binge Ninja is one of my favorite people to collaborate with because you just throw anything at the guy, and if it sticks, he's gonna put something that's awesome over top of it. And there's not a huge amount of time between the first initial idea and realizing something that's satisfying artistically.
Very cool, very cool. How did this collab came about? Shane, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, I can start it off. I'm definitely going to need First Seed to jump in because it's a bit of a sordid story for sure.
Awesome.
Essentially, we had written a joint record around 2010. We released it in 2011. It was called Kissing at Summer Camp. And that was just the two of us. We just started writing together. We just started getting comfortable in our friendship. We'd met playing in projects through a label we were both involved in called D-Trash Records. I was in a project called No Brigade, and he was doing a lot of his really frenetic solo First Seed stuff. And so, you know, we kind of sought each other out. We developed this friendship, started writing, and, you know, developed this record. It just so happens that it really kind of became this really kind of pop-oriented, electronic, like cult record amongst our friends and our peers in the scene in Toronto and kind of outside in the GTA. And I think we both really kind of held onto it super tightly. And we're really proud of what had happened. So we immediately got to work on a new joint record together. And that was in 2012, I believe. And, you know, I think within a year we had an album's worth of material. And then we shaved like 4 or 5 songs off of that because after listening to those back for like half a year, we weren't happy with them. And then we wrote 5 more and then shaved 2 of those down and then wrote 2 more. And, you know, then we finally had enough songs that we were happy with the songs. And then it came down to the mix. And we kind of had our own ideas on how the mix wanted to go. You know, our spectrum was kind of anywhere between extreme noise and radio pop. And so we were constantly kind of battling. I mean, not in a negative way, but, you know, we're both really strong, creative, you know, alpha males. And so we'd be butting heads a lot on how that mix was going to sound. And, you know, through trials and tribulations and arguments and, you know, one person doing a mix and then sending it to another person and then hearing those back and then finally getting together and working on the mix together and doing a lot of hallucinogenic substances to make sure that those things came together appropriately. Before you knew it, it was 2020, and you know. So sorry, I kind of rambled. Maybe you can fill in some of those blanks, Percy.
No, you pretty much nailed it. We put a lot of thought and a lot more direct back and forth energy into making this a coherent and cohesive vision that kind of was what we were trying to express. And I think we got there. We put the time in, and even though I in particular was antsy to get it out, it was definitely worth the wait for the final product here. Very excited for people to hear it. As far as Binge Ninja and I go, it's like we both have an affinity for pop and really extreme abrasive music. We finished the first album we did together. We were like, well, there's only one direction to go, and that's farther in every direction. And so that's kind of where we went. We got some very, very pop-focused bops on this one, and a couple of slaying beasts as well. And yeah, I'm very excited about how it's turned out, and excited for people to hear it.
Awesome. Did you guys come to a process of writing together? Like, did it become smoother?
It's always been a little different.
Yeah.
Do you want to go?
No. Go ahead.
Usually it starts off with, I'll have a beat or something like that. And I'll send a bunch of sketches to Shane, and he'll be like, I like that one, whatever, you know? And then we get together and, get a little fucked up and start throwing out vocal sketch ideas.
Awesome.
See what sticks. Shane is the one take master, though. I don't know how, like, there's a good percentage of the takes on the album that were literally the first take. So,
well, I would say that is definitely the process, funnily enough. But, you know, I think, the real magic kind of happens after, you know, what First Seed was saying with some of those preliminary back and forths with the beats and stuff. But really, once we start catching each other's energy and we're in the same room together, and you know, like, we both sit down with a notepad and we're writing back and forth, and we're recording bars back and forth. So it really was a joint collaborative effort. I want to make sure that we stress that, you know, because, you know, although there were times where we were separated, I'm in Toronto, he's in Niagara, you know, so we got to be able to send each other stuff. And I suppose maybe that's where some of me coming down and doing the one takes came from, because it's not just because I'm a one take wonder, it's because I'd already listened to them 2,000 times in a row and I had all the cadence down and ready to go. But, you know, then there's just being in the room with First Seed, you know, smoking on something, drinking on something, and then we start hitting the groove, and it really kind of solidified the magic that we had on that first record. And, you know, we were really apt to push the boundaries of where we went with that first record. And, you know, as I said, it was really tough to do that. And it put us in a lot of turmoil to get there. But we always came to the decision that, you know, we were going to get through it. We were going to come to an understanding, and we were going to find it, you know. So, you know, to answer your question, you know, more directly, in terms of recording, if we're in the same room and we got the same vision, it's real smooth, man. We work really well together. But, you know, the mixing process, that can be a different story at times. But as I say, we both just want what's best for the record. And luckily, after 8 years, we finally got it.
Nice. Well, I think you kind of answered my question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So when there are disagreements in that process, how do you guys resolve those?
Take it for a speed.
It's really not that painful. We just kind of, we listen back and forth, and consider the other person's input, and we go with what sounds best for the album. We haven't really had any issues where we're just like, you know, could not move forward. We usually come to an agreement. Sometimes it takes a second or a couple of listens, but we find our way. You know, we find our way. We're not you know, pig-headed enough to say either of us that this is the only way it can be. And yeah, usually with a little bit massaging, or we give it a few listens and take a breath, and we're like, yeah, it works, or it doesn't. Okay. We try something else.
I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, like, it's never a situation where we butt heads and it's, there's anger involved. You know, I think it's just one of those things where we both really want it to be the best that it can be, and you know, we're really used to having our own projects and being in charge of the sound and the mix and where those things go. So when you meet another person who's as strong-willed and as strong creatively as you, you know, it can, it's not to say that it rubs you the wrong way, but you, like, for me personally, I'm probably the more emotional of the two of us. So I probably, like, will take like 2 or 3 days, because I'll just be like, fucking for a seed, fuck, what does he mean he doesn't want to fucking mix it like that, fucking asshole, fuck this shit. But then, of course, after 3 days, I realized that, like, oh, wait, he's a complete genius and one of my favorite artists. So I need to start thinking about where he's coming from with it and actually put some of that stuff into practice so that when you hear it, it either works or it doesn't, you know? And I think that's kind of where we fell in terms of the final mixes of this one. It was like, I want to do it this way. Well, I want to do this. Well, let's just do it. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And I really feel like, as I say, you know, with the help of magic mushrooms, that became very clear to us near the end.
Excellent. That's good. That's organic, right?
It was a very organic process. Yeah.
That's an organic process. I like it. Just before we move on, where can we find more about The First Seed and Bench Ninja online?
My stuff at this point, I've got the old Facebook page. All of my material is out on my Bandcamp page, thefirstseed.bandcamp.com. Other than that, I've kind of taken a step back away from social media a little bit as of late, but you can also follow me on Instagram, a.damn. .disaster. I post some stuff there, some sketches and some music there sometimes. I got my videos on YouTube, youtube.com/thefirstseed. A bunch of our collaborative efforts are hosted on Binge Ninja's YouTube site. I think that's, you know, dtrash.com has a bunch of my releases up there as well.
Nice.
But yeah, Bandcamp's the main one. Instagram if you want to get in touch.
Cool.
Yeah. You know, just put Binge Ninja instead of The First Seed into all those answers.
That's excellent.
Yeah. You'll find all our videos on our YouTube site. You'll see a lot of me and First Seed in there from our previous record, and you'll be seeing a lot of us from this record. The one thing I would say is that the record will be released on both of our band camps. So, you know, you just have to decide how you want to support that. Other than that, just type in Binge Ninja, all one word, and then you'll find something. I'm on most of the platforms except for Spotify.
Dope. Awesome. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. It was super fun. It was awesome talking to you.
Benjamin.
Thanks for having us, Benjamin.
Thank you so much. Sorry to cut you off there for a seat. I'll let you go next. But dude, thank you so much. Dropout, you guys are always so good to us. You know, just I appreciate everything you guys are doing. I always want to say it. I'll always promote you guys and just keep doing what you're doing. Go ahead for a seat.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's just really to say thanks so much for having us, Benjamin. Really appreciate the effort that you guys put into promoting local talent. So important, and you guys have opened my eyes to so many artists around here that I really appreciate. And
that's awesome.
So great to have you out there. Much appreciated.
Cool. No, I appreciate that. That's amazing. That's amazing, guys. Thank you so much. Everybody out there, this is Violet by First Seed and Binge Ninja.
Lovely, I can say you're lovely. Like me, do you even like me? You were my baby. Fragile, fragile like a baby. Fragile, cause we're aging. I know who you are.
Last but certainly not least, the Dirty Nil has officially released their new album, Fuck Art. And you know what? It's pretty solid. I am going to take a bigger bite out of the album in an article later on. But for now, I wanted to share a track from the album that's new, that stood out to me, and that I think you're going to be really excited about and stuff, I hope. If you don't know the Dirty Nil, they're a fast-paced, don't call us punk, but kind of still punk rock band from Hamilton, Ontario, and they make some pretty stellar tunes. Check out my interview with Luke from the Dirty Nil back on episode 25 of the show, but do that later. In the meantime, you can hang out and listen to Elvis 77 by the Dirty Nil from their new album, Fuck Art. It's available everywhere. Just look for the smiling golden retriever.
Number one, did you have fun? Did you reel the big one in? Question number
was Elvis 77, the new track from the Dirty Nil from their new album, Fuck Art, which I love saying. Fuck Art is also available on vinyl if you're into that sort of thing. Real records not only sound great, buying records is a great way to support an artist directly, and it makes you look really cool in front of your dates. I'm your host, Ben in Toronto. I'm out for this week. Let's keep holding on tight. It might be a new year and a new energy, but we are not out of the woods, so stay home as much as you can. Wear a mask and stuff, and just generally, you know, stay safe. Take care of each other. Take care of yourself. I will be back next week with some more Canadian independent music, because that's what's up. Don't forget, this show is available as a podcast on Apple Podcasts, Deezer, Stitcher, and of course, iHeartRadio. Dropout is licensed to play through SoCan. Also, don't forget to check out the Canadian Independent Music Video Awards online at independentmusicvideoawards.com. And vote for your favorite Canadian independent music video released in 2020. Watch all of them. They're actually pretty awesome. You can vote for your favorite artists in every category once a day. So help get those videos to the finals. We are announcing the finals on January 18th. And now, back to 100% Canadian independent music. This is Dropout Radio.